Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Warm greetings, this is Sister Jerusha, and you're locked on into Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program Show right here on the Jewel Network, Blog Talk Radio, where we are justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. How are you today? It's such a wonderful pleasure to have your listening ears, and we'd like to welcome all of the new balancing participants that have recently joined Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Welcome, welcome. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you. And we'd also like to welcome the people who are in the taking the first steps of the process in joining the Balancing Program. And briefly, you are just catching the final furlong of the 50% discount that Dr. Jewel is currently got on offer. So to ones who have recently joined, and for all of our Balancing participants, congratulations and welcome. And it's always a pleasure. Today on the Jewel Network, on Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, we'll be discussing mutual support as well as anything else that Dr. Jewel feels fit to share with us today. But specifically, we wanted to talk to you about mutual support. We'll be sharing with you a small quote from a book that Dr. Jewel highly recommends that we read called You Can Have It All, A Simple Guide to a Joyful and Abundant Life by Arnold M. Payton. So look out for that. And, yeah, it's going to be an awesome show, as it always is. So we'll be back right after this break. Please keep it locked.
Join us for the 2011 21st Century Woman Conference, August 13th and 14th, in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Our 21st Century Woman Conference topic will be Lost Keys to Thrive in the 21st Century. Featured presenters for the 21st Century Woman Conference include Dr. Jewel Pookrum, MD, speaking on the seven circuits of the brain, master metaphysician and founder of the Meta Center, Dr. Delbert Blair, discussing the release of energies and minerals necessary in the 21st century, holistic therapist Julie Ampleby from the United Kingdom on the importance of activating the diamond crystals in the body, as well as author Joan Bunny, speaking on tissue regeneration and age reversal, and much more. The 21st Century Woman Conference will be held at the Holiday Inn Atlanta Airport South in College Park. Seating is limited, so get your advance tickets today by visiting our website, thejewelnetwork.net. We'll see you there. Attention current and completed members of Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Join us for the Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program Advanced Discipline Workshop in Atlanta, Georgia, August 13th and 14th, 2011. The Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program Advanced Discipline Workshop is for all members of Dr. Jewel's Basic and Advanced Balancing Program and will focus on the advanced activating and tuning of the diamonds, a full lecture and discourse on the backstory, the inborn saboteur of your life, and a basic introduction into learning psychokinesis, the levitation of objects. The tuition fee for the Advanced Discipline Workshop also includes full access to the 21st Century Woman Conference. For those not yet enrolled in Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program, a special 50% off rate is being offered for a limited time. For more information on Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program and the Advanced Discipline Workshop, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Well, greetings, everyone. How are you? And it's good to be with you every Monday. It's balancing the brain time. So if I sound a little bit different, it's because the little vocal cords have been under a lot of activity because we've been speaking on many, many airways here to promote the 21st Century Women's Conference and, as usual, always the balancing program. So we are excited about this weekend and all the things that are coming up. And, boy, the staff has really been inundated with inquiries and people registering from registering from all areas of the world. So we're just really excited. So we kind of perused through there today just to take a look at the premises here. I haven't seen it, but the convention group have got everything together, and it was just so interesting to know how quiet the lobbies were and everything in the conference areas, of which that'll be totally changed this weekend, and we are expecting that you're going to be a part of that. So we have a beautiful location, and what's so nice, it is really nice and cool in there. So that was really nice, and I don't mean like cold. It was just nice and cool because it's quiet here, and it's warm here in Atlanta, and we'll be able to have lots of fun there at the conference site, and we won't be chilled because we have, you know, full two-day events going on. So with that said, I think that we should move right into our focus for today. And guess what? I'm like, okay, what is the focus? Got it. Mutual support. And, you know, no, I've known Mr. Patton, Arnold Patton, for a very, very long time. And, you know, he is very special to me because he was the gentleman that suggested to me that I should basically investigate joining the balancing program. That's right. So he was my key to get on this program. And he gave me a very interesting story about the fact that, you know, he's a devout practitioner of his Jewish faith, and they have a stronger-than-glue commitment to each other and a commitment to mutual support. And so he was saying that his commitment, however, was very uncomfortable for his health. And he moved right into his mutual support system, which was to perpetuate a generational silk stocking real estate law firm in New York. And therefore, he was saying that he just did not like being a paid gladiator, but obviously this was his mutual support system, and he had to, he felt, rise to the occasion. And so for 25 years, he was in pain every day. And he said that he did everything, yoga, medication, you know, exercise, everything that he could to just diminish this pain. And with some things, it got better. With some things, it didn't. And he said that he knew there was something that he had to do differently. He didn't really know what. So this program was recommended to him, and he completed the program, and he said that what was so wonderful about the program was its ability to allow him to leave the law firm that he helped to build for 25 years, not with the sense of abandonment, but he recognized that his best qualities were to help people who were in dispute come to a mutual understanding as to how they could both have it all. So he was one of the founding fathers of establishing what's now known as mediation law. So as you know, mediation law does not point the finger at any particular person. Everyone agrees to come together, and whatever the dispute is or the assets may be, they are divided in a way that both parties agree to. So instead of making someone right or wrong, everybody describes ideally what they would like, and from that premise, the negotiations start. And he said that in 5 years of that practice that he was willing to establish, he made more money in 5 years than he did for the initial 25 years that he had practiced. So he talks a lot about mutual support. He talks about the importance and the power in doing what you love. And so this is a very, very important key for health and longevity, because we do know for a fact that individuals who spend time every day involving themselves in practices and activities that they do not love, they find the health is challenged. And now we know why. Because the body always knows your truth. The body always knows what you are thinking, because the neurons of the brain are responsible for translating into a chemical that the body can understand every thought that you think. Not some thoughts, all thoughts. So when you're having this intense conversation with yourself, oh, God, I just really hate to have to go in there today. I am just so sick of that job, and I'm just so tired of it. It's just so boring, and I just, oh, if it wasn't because it pays my bills, I just would not have anything to do with this. Oh, boy, okay, okay. Let me just get up, get dressed, whatever else. So the body is like already knowing that you don't want to be there, that you're not really interested in it, but because it takes care of your basic needs. And you know what, we talk about that. That area of the brain that you're now allowing to run your life is your very primitive reptilian brain. Those survival issues, that's all reptile brain function. Survival is reptile brain function, and when your whole life is directed to meeting those perceived needs, that is the area of the brain that's running the body, the reptilian brain. And this brain in your head knows that it is a human brain, that it is the most highly evolved brain on the planet, and it wants to be totally used. It doesn't want just that little small part in the back, the reptilian brain, to be the only area of the brain that's firing all the time, that's making all the chemicals and giving all the directions. It wants the other areas of the brain, especially this new brain up in the front of your head, which is why it's called neocortex. Neo, Latin for new. Remember Neo in the Matrix? Right, he was the new concept, the new thought. And in the brain, it's recognizing this new frontal lobe development that has all of the information from all of the lower brains. It has all the wiring from the bird brain. It has all the wiring from the mammalian brain. It has all of the wiring, which are neurons. The neurons have grown a leg or an arm, and they've extended themselves into this front part of the brain. And so all these circuits are available for neo, new thinking. And when you are not in the front part of your brain using those new clusters of neurons that have all kind of new ideas and all kind of visions and capabilities that could be employed, because you're back in the past, in the old brain that you were supposed to have grown through by age 4 years old, the body is just like really tired. It's like, you know, we've been inundated with the same old chemistry all of our life. Can we have a break? And the cells just are like, you know, we're not stimulated, this doesn't move us, we don't even really want to function now. And so when you say, oh, I just really don't want to go to that job, I really don't want to function, the cells are like, okay, we don't want to function, we don't want to be bothered with the same old song in the name of chemistry. And the body begins to shut down, so you start getting, you know, congestion in the throat, and then your sinuses start running, and then you have this pressure in your head all day, and then you notice your shoulders are tight, and, you know, week after week it gets more severe, and now you have to go to the doctor. You don't know if it's sinusitis, or you don't know what it is. It's migraine headaches, and then they go there and they tell you, well, you may have sinusitis, and it may be migraine, and it, you know, may be just a lymphatic congestion. And so they give you three pills because it may be all of those. And you've got to take six up each one every day. And then you start on this whole agenda of creating poisonous thoughts. And then you actually then go to the doctor who gives you additional poisons for the body, okay? And you can just see yourself going downhill. This was literally Arnold's story. And so when he finally just said, I need a way to break out of this, and they told him that this program could perhaps help him to find some relief for his pain, he didn't know that finding the relief was to stop doing what he knew he didn't want to do for 25 years. But because obviously he was in such need to please the family lineage. But with those new neurons, he figured it out. What did he figure out? That, hey, I can actually introduce a new concept into an old methodology. And by introducing this new concept into this old methodology, the old law firm gets paid, but I get a chance to do it my way. So therefore, the people who still wanted to, you know, point the finger at each other over, you know, real estate disputes, et cetera, they could do that. But he moved and started a whole new aspect of the firm, mediation law, and was having a good time every day to the extent that he was able to magnetize 25 times the money. Is that 25? No, four times the money. Scotty, five times the money that he made in 25 years. He could make that in 5 years. Could you imagine? It took him 25 years to make the money that if he had been partying every day like he was, that he made in 5 years, because that's what joy can do, and honesty. But he had to grow the neurons so he could move into the neocortex of his brain to be able to see that he could do it differently. For 25 years, he couldn't see how he could do it differently, and he had to basically suffer because he was in the old past, the old parts of the brain. But that balancing program caused the neurons to make a new hookup, a new circuits, and he was able to go into the front of his brain, and with all of the old brains giving the new brain their information, and with the new brain saying, okay, good, I'm glad I have all the information from the reptilian brain, from the bird brain, from the mammalian brain, from the fish brain, so let's see how we can put all this together. What's the circumstances? Like, oh, okay, good. Well, let's try it this way. And this new practice was created. Pain went away. Money was coming into the pocket, because every mutual support system, he learned, has to start with supporting self. And because he was willing to support his brain, to grow it so that he could take old information and incorporate it in a new way, he was able to have the life that he always wanted to live. And for that reason, then he wrote his books, You Can Have It All, which is not what most lawyers practice. Are you kidding? Of course you can't have it all. You are a paid gladiator as a lawyer, and either you're right or you're wrong. And he was able to get out of that judgment box. It was killing him, his back and everything. And he was able to move out of the judgment box and help everybody get what they wanted. And that's what being able to use the front part of your brain can do. It takes old information and synthesizes a whole new opportunity based on the benefits and the advantages of the old information, which is the wisdom. It takes the wisdom of the old and then integrates that in the present, creating a new opportunity where wisdom works to support new horizons of new creative experiences. And that's what Arnold did, and so he just passed that information on, that he said perhaps some way, somehow, this will help you. And he didn't really know how that affects a person who has a serious disease at that time. I did. And he didn't really know what it was going to do. All he knew was that his pain went away. He was able to forge forward with a new opportunity. He was able to make lots of money from it. And so he figured it couldn't hurt. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Jewish chicken soup. And I was so glad that I was able to try it. And this was my rationale. Okay, 15 minutes a day. If I look at the TV program that I know is not going to benefit my condition, then I've already wasted twice that much time. So if this program can do all these things just by looking at some little symbols, then I'm ready to try it. And I was even comfortable with the fact that even if it doesn't work, even if it doesn't do anything, I haven't wasted my time because at least I tried to do something constructive. Because looking at TV, we know that's not necessarily going to change anything. And if you can let that go under the bridge, as they say, no problem, well, then something that has this much potential, could you really lose? And the answer is no. So at least it was 15 minutes used in a more constructive manner, focused toward changing my condition. The TV program was not focused toward that. So lo and behold, was he ever right? So I got the opportunity to create a new attitude that I was able to see that I could do things differently, that I could respond differently. And most of all, I began to have fun. Okay, my life is missing a lot of fun too. And I was able to start having fun in my practice, just fun in my life in general. I had the courage to investigate new and unfounded methods of assisting patients to heal that definitely was not ordained by the medical practice. But it didn't matter to me. I just wanted to have new options and to build a whole new armamentarium. And I did that, and in the process, I was able to bring about a spontaneous healing of my own body. So when I saw that, I was like, I was just having fun. I was just enjoying myself, using my brain. I had no idea that having fun and enjoying myself was going to allow my tissues to reverse the disease process that they were demonstrating. And I was like, well, is it just me, or could this really be true that this really changes tissue? How does ink on paper change tissues? I never heard of that. They never taught this in med school nor residency. So I'm like, okay, I've got to do the experiment here. So I was able to allow a population of 200 patients to identify themselves. I let them choose themselves. So I had a double-blind study. I had 200 patients. We just split them in half. 100 patients said, okay, doc, whatever you say. Okay, I'm supposed to look at these things every day. Whatever you say, I'll do it. You know, I've done everything else, and I haven't gotten any better. So, you know, let's try this. I was like, okay, wonderful. Then I had 100 patients who said, oh, no, I don't think I'll do that. You know, I'm a devout churchgoer, and so, you know, my spirituality is fine. You know, it was so interesting to look at the group who said no. You know, the common reason why they said no was not the price. It was the fact that they decided they didn't need that. They're like, oh, I don't really understand that. We don't need that. You know, and I was like, it's nothing really understand. You just look at the symbols. You don't think about anything else. You just look at the symbol. Oh, no, I don't think so. So they refrained from the program because they felt that they already had a relationship with their spiritual self, either through their church or either because this was something that they did on their own or that they just felt the money could be invested in buying more herbs or more foods that they were going to need for their healing diet. And the observation that I made and recorded was not a cheerful one. However, it was out of my hands because the patients were thoroughly informed about the option available to them, and they said no, they refused it. And out of the population, we had 100% people who did the program, 100 people. The compliance rate to do the program correctly, that is to look at it every day, not, you know, twice a week or three times a week, but every day, And because these patients had serious illnesses, that is, potentially lethal illnesses, they were recommended to look at them twice a day. So in that compliance group, we had a group that looked at the symbols twice a day. Those individuals who looked at the symbols twice a day, they all lived after the end of the first year after being diagnosed with a serious disease. They all were alive. The second group in the first group who complied to the program, we only had one person to die at the end of 1 year. So even the individuals who just looked at the symbols once a day were still able to be alive at their 1 year survival rate, because these are the terms that are used with the end-stage cancer disease. They tell you if you have a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year survival rate, what the percentage is, that you'll be able to live, you know, for 1 year with this diagnosis. In your case, based on the degree of disorder, it could be 50% of the people with your stage of disease are alive after 1 year. It could be 70%, depending upon the staging. So all of these people, regardless of the staging, were alive after 1 year of doing this program, except one person. Even if they did it just once, they were still alive. 99 patients. The group who said that they already had a spiritual relationship, or they rather used the money to buy herbs and food, or they just really didn't think it was significant, they again took charge of their own disorder and decided that they would be the doctor at this level. They all died in the first year. None of them survived. So those statistics were significantly meaningful to me, and I began to incorporate the balancing program heavily into my practice. So not only did I use this program for people with serious illness, but I also used it for people with chronic illness. And so those individuals who had uterine fibroids for years or were having chronic benign prostatic hypertrophy, excellent program with individuals with high blood pressure, I began to use this program along with their dietary lifestyle regime, and we were getting fabulous results. So this is how my name kind of got known around the country, et cetera, because of my little trusty, wonderful balancing support group. So that is my story about a mutual support system. And so the balancing has this capacity to allow us to support ourselves first, and then when we are supporting ourselves, we find it easy to support others. Because when we like what we do, we magnetize people who like what we do, and we all then are able to support each other in doing what we love. And so he has a whole chapter on that. So let's hear everyone from Jadisha what Arnold Patton precisely says in his chapter on mutual support. Can you read that for us?
Oh, definitely, Dr. Jewel. I just want to take a quick break and then give the opportunity for everyone to grab themselves a glass of water so that they can retain the information. And we'll meet you back on the other side of this quick break. Thank you, Dr. Jewel.
Thank you.
New from Jewel Publications, Straight from the Heart by Dr. Jewel Pookrum, an incredible volume of work inspired by the lecture series of the same name. Dr. Jewel explores the genesis of disease, prostate health, and sexuality, as well as sharing a new look at the effects emotions play in the resolution of cancer. Straight from the Heart tackles issues at the core level of the healing process and is an outpouring of wisdom that you will read over and over again. Get your copy today.
It's time for you to hear from some of the most progressive minds of our time. Please join us at the 2011 21st Century Woman Conference, August 13th and 14th in Atlanta, Georgia. Motivational speaker and author of Sexy in Your 60s, Ms. Joan Bunny will be present, signing copies of her book, as well as sharing amazing information on tissue regeneration, the process of age reversal, and the importance of recognizing the goddess principle in today's society. Her story is one that will move you and definitely improve your life in many ways. Arriving all the way from the United Kingdom, holistic therapist and tissue engineer, Ms. Julie Umpleby, renowned for her diamond activation procedures for human tissue, will be at the conference to discuss the significance of activating and tuning the diamond crystal structures found within and around our bodies. This is a must-hear information resource, and Julie will be extending the opportunity for conference goers to sign up to have their diamond-like bodies activated right here in Atlanta. The 21st Century Woman Conference will be held at the Atlanta Airport Holiday Inn South in College Park, Georgia, and is open to all genders. Seating is limited, so get your advance tickets and early registration discounts today by emailing augustevent@thejewelnetwork.net or by visiting our website, thejewelnetwork.net. We will see you at the 2011 21st Century Woman Conference.
Welcome back, everyone. You're locked on to Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program show on the Jewel Network Blog Talk Radio, where we are justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. And prayerfully, we're looking forward to seeing you on Saturday at the 21st Century Women's Conference. It's going to be an absolutely phenomenal event. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, please log on to www.thejewelnetwork.net and get your tickets straight away. Okay, so Dr. Jewel, you want me to read the mutual support chapter from You Can Have It All by Arnold M. Patton.
You say Patton, I say Patton.
Tomato, tomato?
Yeah, funny.
So how does he say it? Does he say Patton?
No, Patton.
Patton, okay. Arnold M. Patton. Okay.
Right.
All right, thank you. Okay, mutual support. Our universe functions as a mutual support system in which each and everything in existence relates to and affects every other thing. The planets exert gravitational forces on one another. The sun affects the growth of plants, which in turn provide food for animals. Our use of resources on our planet has an effect on the quality of the air we breathe and the water we drink. Every thought and feeling each of us has vibrates through the universe, and that vibration has an impact on everything. We are all part of a mutual support system. Our ability to function successfully within such a system is directly related to our willingness to recognize and accept that mutual support is indeed the nature of life. The more willing we are to accept this truth, the more fulfilling and the more fun life becomes for us. In order to create our journey into the human experience we created, we created the belief that we are naturally competitive and adversarial. Then we created those who reinforced that belief by encouraging us to strike out on our own and work hard to achieve personal objectives and goals. We accepted the idea that we can achieve happiness at the expense of others, or at least without caring about others. This reinforcement has led many of us to doubt, at least at times, that we can trust that our essence, which is love, is who we really are. After many years of living in a society not only accepts but promotes the virtues of the competitive adversarial system, we have to get a great deal of support to help us make the transition. Step by step, back to what is truly natural to us, the desire to live in mutual support. This book is designed to provide a basis of that support by explaining not only the principles that underlie mutual support, but also the ways to use these principles moment by moment to expand our trust in the loving and perfect essence that we are. One of the first steps we can take is to remind ourselves that we always have the choice to create environments that are harmonious, nurturing, and mutually supportive. This is true whether the environment is at home, a place of business, school, a supermarket, or a crowded bus. We can begin to practice the principles of mutual support anytime, anywhere. However, given the heavy emphasis in our society on competition, it may be helpful to join with others who share a commitment to living in mutual support. There are now in existence mutual support groups that meet in towns and cities around the world, and the great value of these groups is that they give participants a direct experience of living in mutual support. And he goes on to say that he discusses it further towards the end of the book. Dr. Jewel, would it be okay for me to just say a couple of words on this?
Oh, sure, because I didn't have something to say about why years ago when
we can't hear you very clearly.
Okay, sorry. All right. Yes. Can you hear me better?
Much better, thank you.
Oh, good. Yeah, my little microphone was at the top of my head. Sorry. Okay. We don't have a mouth up there yet. Okay. So what I was saying is that this mutual support system is so important, and that's why years ago we laid out a whole format, program, everything, to have universal principal support groups. Because when we found that we balanced and then we would then commit to living in a world in our own mind that supported ourselves as well as supporting everything around us and everything else, our life really became a beautiful dance to live, literally. And so this is something that is going to be required of us in the 21st century. And so we have everything in place to do this. We just must encourage ourselves and each other to use the part of the brain that is wired for mutual support. And that's beautiful. So, yeah, please tell us what's on your heart.
What's on my heart is that here in the UK, you know, I'm seeing this more prevalent than ever before. I really do give thanks for being on the Balancing Program and being amongst and able to communicate with others who are committed to themselves, to the welfare of their soul and their most powerful asset, their brain. And here in the UK, I'm not sure if you're aware, Dr. Jewel, but there's a lot of riots taking place here at the moment. And it was quite interesting to observe the news a couple of nights ago, and it was as though the news had kind of scripted people's thought process, and then people watched the news, and then they created the scenarios. It was just like watching a miracle, but the type of miracle that you wouldn't want to see. And, you know, it's just very clear to me how powerful our minds are, and if we're not in charge of our minds, we can be, you know, manipulated quite easily. But what's really on my heart is that right now the world is going through a lot of different shifts, and it's clear that we are not working from our hearts, and we're working from fear, and rather than judging and having an opinion and a criticism and a doubt that we can get it together, we have to start projecting some kind of positiveness out there, you know, start creating a picture that we would like to see with a knowingness that we can actually achieve that. And I just wanted to hear what you had to say in respects to that. And also, it was brought to my attention today that we're in the midst of the another Mercury retrograde cycle, and I didn't know if that was something that we should be be aware of right now, and how should we be maneuvering right now at this current time with so much things going on around us?
Yeah, well, Mercury retrogrades are very difficult for most people, because most people do not focus on staying in the moment, which means that they are 100% involved in what is going on at the moment, which is what makes for effective communication. So when people multitask and they're not able to concentrate, they're really not hearing everything. They're not really seeing everything, because they're really not completely there. That's what being present is about. And in the face of a Mercury retrograde, oh my goodness, that's even less information that the individual is able to absorb, because everything appears to be moving backward, so people are definitely not present. So it's very difficult for people to really be exact and accurate and take action in an effective way, because the Mercury retrograde displaces the awareness of the person even more, who is not practicing being in the moment or being present. So a lot of mistakes are made during this time, mistakes that are made continuously, communications aren't clear, and therefore it seems that many projects even come to a halt because of that. So this is a time anyway, because of where we are in the Mayan calendar, that we have to really focus on clear communication from the heart, and to make sure that our actions are in the moment. Now, I'm just curious about what is the reasoning that is being given as to why the UK is having these riots. What's going on over there? What are they saying is the reason? Is it because of, you know, labor, not enough jobs, or is it because of, what do they think it is?
Well, it was ignited by a young man who was shot by the police. And the story was given that the young man had a weapon on him, and he fired it at the policeman, and the policeman's walkie-talkie prevented him from being injured. However, eyewitnesses expressed that he didn't have a gun and he didn't shoot the police, and that it's all fabricated. And there's a lot of underlying, you know, police have been not treating people that they've arrested with love and respect until proven either guilty or otherwise, and they have a bit of a reputation and stereotype vibe out there. So then on the news, one of our local MPs was interviewed, and she was clearly asked, you know, do you think that we should, do you think we should be concerned about this? Do you think that we should be, you know, monitoring the situation? And she then said, well, her name's Diane Abbott. She's an MP here in the UK. She then said, well, you know, these people in these local urban areas, they're quite upset about, you know, cuts to school funding and cuts to programs for the youth and cuts to this. So I think that we should definitely be looking out for some unsettlement in, and she named particular areas. It was as though she scripted it. And I was like, well, check that out. And then the following 2-3 days now, we're in the third day, everything has manifested. And she also plugged the fact that she heard about the first riot on Twitter. So then she actually directed the people where to go on how to communicate to execute. Well, then I just thought it was a bit really backward, you know. But so that's it, basically.
Wow. So have more people been injured other than the initial gentleman? Did he lose his life in that confrontation?
Yes, he did lose his life, and
They lost his body in that confrontation.
I'm not certain as to his body. I think his body. I think they've got his body. I mean, they dragged him out of a vehicle and shot him. Mm-hmm. And then within that, by nightfall, there was a riot in the area that the arrest took place. And then now, every urban area, there have been opportunists where they've been looting, setting cars and buildings on fire. And, yeah, so it's really getting chaotic. Then when I realized it was the Mercury retrograde, I thought, they're living in they're dwelling in the past.
Right.
And a friend of mine texted me and said he was at the location where they were appealing and protesting. And I said, be careful, bruv, because, you know, what we focus on expands. And there's an agenda to them having so much coverage in the news on this situation. And it's just fueling a certain frequency. And he said, true. And then within 30 minutes, the riots broke out, you know. So, you know, I just, the mutual support thing, I think, is really, really important for us to recognize and embrace, because these young people, individuals, they're damaging the place. They're burning down things, looting shops. Where are you going to buy your food tomorrow? Where's your mum going to buy her food? You know, and when they, if they present curfews or implement martial law, because I feel that they've just trying to ignite situations for such things to prevail eventually, you know, just an excuse, you're actually creating a non-positive situation for yourself. You know, if you really think before you do things, I know.
Well,
it's just,
well, that's part of what happens when the brain is not balanced, is that reptilian brain is very responsive to any change, okay? And the change, the response doesn't seem to be well thought out. It's always about just the moment. And many times, again, you lose your body because of these responses here that are not well thought out. And also, too many other people are injured. So, again, this just precipitous behavior that has really no focus, not well thought out, has brought about a lot of destruction. And this happens to individuals who have not unified the brain, where they can get input from areas of the brain that are very much devoted to long-term high-quality living. See, the front part of the brain is devoted to long-term high-quality living. And without you having access to that area of the brain, then many decisions that people make are going to be very precipitous and are going to cause you to lose your body. So this is another reason why taking the time every day to balance the brain ensures your longevity and ensures that you'll be able to make creative decisions that will benefit you in the moment and also for the long term, as well as other people. So what do you think Arnold Patton would do under this circumstance, or anyone that was using the mutual support system? How would that be employed in this circumstance where we have groups of people who are just reacting out of fear? How do we use the mutual support system to support a person who is thinking that they are vulnerable? Because we know that's not true. We know that everyone is a master and can take any experience and navigate it in such a way where everybody benefits. That's what the mutual support system says. Any experience, we can navigate it in a way that everyone benefits. When you have access to the area of the brain that allows that, which is that area of the brain, there's a natural area of the brain that is wired to support every life form involved in an experience. There's really an area of your brain. And the balancing program will allow the neurons to grow and mature and to also make connections to that area of the brain. This was how Anna was able to write that chapter on mutual support. You have to understand, he could not write that chapter on mutual support until he balanced his brain. Those books were written after he balanced his brain, because that's why he suffered for 25 years. His brain was not balanced. The neurons were not communicating in such a way where he had located this area of the brain that says, look, we have the traits that everybody can benefit from this. And when those neurons were finally able to make the connection, then this is where he was like, wow, I've got a better idea. I've got a bright idea. Well, it wasn't as though this was something new. The only thing new about it was that the neurons of his brain, the first time they had ever made contact with that area of the brain. We have a peace area of the brain. This is why so many social architects are so fascinated with the writings of Martin Luther King. How did he do this? How did he take a subject, an event that has gone on for centuries, an event that has caused much, much hostility, much reactivity, and many, many people have lost their lives based on this perception that skin color endowed a person with particular benefits or disadvantages. And he was able to go into the area of his brain that takes all the neurons that has tension or conflict and interact with them so that the neurons become peaceful. See, the people who are not studying neurosciences don't understand that this gift that he had to be able to bring peace into chaos that has known bloodshed, that has known war, that has known torture, that has known hate, is a special place in the brain where these neurons emanate a frequency of energy that causes the disorder of chaos to come into order. You're looking at light. Chaos is light. Chaos is information that is literally without geometric structure. And when you can basically bring geometry into chaos and hold that template, the energy in the chaos must conform. And this is how he was able to take a wild and unruly and ruthless and deadly energy known as racism and give it a geometric template so that everybody would benefit. Do you understand that?
Yeah, certainly.
And that geometric template was known as what? Civil rights. And the definition of the template is everybody who has a human body has the right to have services and privileges based on a quality that supersedes the color of one's skin. That was the geometric template.
You know what? It's what's not easy for people to really fathom, especially if they're not already balancing, is that they're creating geometric templates. They're creating and shaping their reality. And they're not in a position of knowing that they are accountable and responsible. You know, Brother Maurice made a point that reptilians feed off of anger and fear. And there's certain ones on this planet who are playing their role quite effectively, and they're providing us, from my perception, with an opportunity to just find ourselves. You know, we're on this journey to realize what Dr. Jewel's teaching us, that we are of light and that sacred geometry is in absolutely everything. And we're going around reacting towards things, like, without knowing what we're reacting to, without realizing that we're supposed to learn from what's being shown to us, what we're creating, whatever picture we're seeing. You know, even me witnessing riots virtually just down the road from me. I didn't actually witness it, but my neighbor came and said, don't go outside. I was oblivious. I'm on the balancing program, and I'm like in a little bubble. And if it wasn't for you, Dr. Jewel, I probably wouldn't turn on my TV, because you told me don't be in denial, you know, because I'm like, I don't want to create anything that doesn't come from me. But you reminded me that it's important to pay attention, as well as know who you are and that you're a creator. Pay attention to what's going on around you and learn from it. But I just find it... people don't, without having a balanced brain, and from just exhausted approximate 27,000 neurons being utilized, when you tell someone that they're connected to everything and that they're responsible for the planet that they reside on and the cosmos and how we're you know, in the midst of it all, and we're connected to absolutely everything and everyone. It's very interesting. Very interesting to observe.
Yes. It's so wonderful when you have a balanced brain where the neurons are connecting. You can do what? You can observe anything, and you have a greater capability of not judging it, and that's what you want to do. You want to not eliminate things from your life per se, but you want to be able to be neutral and just watch and hold your focus on what it is that you want to be involved in, and only that. See, that's the key. So, you know, all this information around us, yes, you want to observe the information, but if it's not relative to what you're doing, you have a balanced brain where you can observe, collect the data, and move forward onward to your goal. And that's what a well-integrated balanced brain can do. So, you know, there's no loss to having a balanced brain except your past. And most people are not happy with the present that they're living in. That's why they moved away from the past. And the balanced brain basically ensures that you just extract the wisdom and move forward. You know, hanging around in the past brings a lot of disease on people, high blood pressure, diabetes. The list goes on. And it's because the body is progressive. It wants to go forward. The brain is a progressive brain. And when you hold it back, how can it do anything but deteriorate? It's been there, done that. Can we move forward? And because people don't understand how they even built their body, they misnavigate it. They don't know how to navigate it. So this is a mutual support system. Yes, we are in retrograde, but because we have balanced brains, or we're balancing our brain, Mercury retrograde does what? It works in our behalf because it says, okay, this is a time to slow down, definitely be in the present, pay attention, and hold your focus. You do not begin a new activity in this period of time. And when Mercury retrograde comes about, anyone who understands how energy flows knows that, okay, no new changes right now. We hold steady status quo. And then when the Mercury retrograde passes, now we can introduce new energies, new templates, and build. So it's just like the old saying, you know, life is a movement and a rest and a movement. And these are just signs to let us know when our energy should be resting, when they should be moving, when they should be moving, when they should be resting.
Excellent. Okay, Dr. Jewel, we're going to take a quick break. We've got some questions on the call lines. So, perhaps we can take some calls when we come back from this break. Is that okay with you?
No problem. Let's do it.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll be right back. You're locked on to Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program Show on the Jewel Network Blog Talk Radio.
We are pleased and honored to have Dr. Deborah Blair as one of our esteemed speakers for the 2011 21st Century Woman Conference, August 13th and 14th in Atlanta, Georgia. As a metaphysician, educator, and founder of the Meta Center, Dr. Blair has done more than his part to shed light on riveting subjects literally under, above, and through the sun. At this year's 21st Century Woman Conference, Dr. Blair will be revealing the latest data addressing the release of energies and minerals needed to thrive in the 21st century. Dr. Blair will address specifically magnetic, diodes, monatomic, and much more. Dr. Blair will avail himself for question and answers, and products will be available for purchase. We're excited to have you at the 21st Century Woman Conference, which will be held at the Atlanta Airport Holiday Inn South in College Park, Georgia. Seating is limited, so get your advance tickets and early registration discounts today by emailing augustevent@thejewelnetwork.net or by visiting our website, thejewelnetwork.net. We'll see you there. Attention current and completed members of Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Join us for the Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program Advanced Discipline Workshop in Atlanta, Georgia, August 13th and 14th, 2011. The Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program Advanced Discipline Workshop is for all members of Dr. Jewel's Basic and Advanced Balancing Program and will focus on the Advanced Activating and Tuning of the Diamonds, a full lecture and discourse on the backstory, the inborn saboteur of your life, and a basic introduction into learning psychokinesis, the levitation of objects. The tuition fee for the Advanced Discipline Workshop also includes full access to the 21st Century Woman Conference. For those not yet enrolled in Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program, a special 50% off rate is being offered for a limited time. For more information on Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program and the Advanced Discipline Workshop, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Welcome back. This is your co-host, Sister Jadusha V. Shines, alongside the wonderful Dr. Jewel Pookrum, and you're locked onto Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program Show. Pray for you guys are full enjoying the word, sounds, powers that Dr. Jewel's disseminating today. The theme for today is mutual support. Dr. Jewel.
Yes.
A question sprung to my mind before we go to our callers and before we go to some of the comments in the chat room. What do you think about, because to me the answer is obvious, but, you know, sometimes we have some things that are done to us in the community and so on, so really non-positive things, and we want to stand up for ourselves. What do you think about protesting and, just basically protesting, going to a police station, peaceful protesting, standing up for our rights, is that too living in the past? Is like celebrating the anniversary of someone's transition, 5-10 year anniversary, is that healthy for us to do, or is that not healthy, or does it depend?
I've observed these memorials, and they're very interesting because the memorials, again, that I've observed, they're not constructive. The memorials do not give updates on the progress that has been made based on the efforts or the events that needed to be changed or the change could have been brought through. And so when a memorial doesn't reinforce the wisdom that was learned from a particular event, that individuals lost their lives, then you're in the past and all you're doing is drumming up and reliving the very destructive emotions. And it was interesting to watch some memorials, and they found people from events that had happened 30 years ago, and they spent a whole weekend drumming up that whole event that had occurred 30 years ago. and some people had lost their bodies and died and everything else, and the relatives that they could find, they brought them forward to live that event 30 years now in the present. And I'm like, what is the point here? Did we, you know, it was an accident that happened. So are we now giving the up-to-date information on how we've implemented change and behavior patterns that will ensure that this event could never occur again? Are we now talking about what new edicts we've put forward to ensure that this will never be a future event again? If we are not learning from the past and bringing the wisdom to the moment about how we've progressed in our awareness of ourselves and others, then it is a very destructive process to go back to the past. The past is not to be revisited because you have unlimited new experiences to have. The tissues want to have new experiences, not the same old thing. So if you cannot bring the wisdom forward, which is neutral, the brain does not create a charged neurotransmitter when we employ wisdom. So you have to understand that what is the thing that you want to pay attention to? As long as you can keep the blood quality of the body neutral, then the tissues will always regenerate. When you start putting a charge into the blood, where the blood is positive or negative, now you're getting into problems because all reactions in the body do not occur in a positively charged environment. When we're talking about hydrogen atoms being there, all reactions that are necessary for life definitely do not occur in a negatively charged environment. So therefore, neutrality allows all the major reactions that the body needs to sustain itself. That is a neutral environment that these reactions can occur. So when you have opinions and judgments about events, you are charging your blood. See, that's what people understand. They keep kind of wanting to think about good or bad because I have an opinion or I don't. Well, you can think that way, but you're still missing the point. Mm-hmm. The key here is you do not want to charge your body with chemistry that will inhibit its normal regenerative capabilities. And so, therefore, if you are not able to extract the wisdom from a past event, which is neutral, thinking about the wisdom does not charge the blood. Any other event and how it's perceived that creates an emotion has now charged the blood, and that means that your tissues are not going to regenerate that day unless you figure out how to bring the bloodstream back to neutral. So people have gotten very clever, okay? And again, being clever is not being wise. And so therefore now they're creating all of these water machines that alkalinize the water. And they're touting how important it is to have alkaline water. Why? It's important. Why? Well, what they're not telling you is that because you're so judgmental and you're so critical of everything, that your blood is so acidic that you need this alkaline water to move the charge on the blood closer to being neutral again. See, that's what they're not telling you. So everybody's drinking all this alkaline water, et cetera. Most people do not even know how to administer it to themselves. They're not monitoring the charge on their saliva. They're not monitoring the charge on their urine, which is how you know what the charge is on the blood. And so they're just doing this, and they're throwing their body totally out of balance. I have had associates here that literally have died. They literally, at their own hand, killed themselves because they were manipulating the charge on the blood using alkalinized water. And they did not understand that when the charge on the blood is inappropriate, you pull all of your vital minerals out of the tissues. And so they gave themselves heart attacks. because they had alkalinized their blood to such an extent the potassium now was moving out of the heart muscle. No potassium, the heart muscle basically has a real interesting phenomena that it goes through, and it basically stops contracting. So this body is very, very, very intelligent, and it really doesn't need much from you except honesty and the willingness to live in the moment. And if you do that, this body basically, with a balanced brain, will show you some things that will surprise you. But it'll be right there for you indefinitely. It will not age on you. It will not get sick on you. It will not die on you if you would just, again, enjoy what you're doing, recognize that you and everything else are the same, make sure that you first do no harm, and that your diet is a clean diet. That's all clean. And that doesn't mean that it has to be a vegetarian diet. Doesn't mean that everything has to be all meat. But whatever you eat, that it has not been adulterated. That is the key. And when I say adulterated, chemicals added to it. Chemicals extracted from it. Did it grow in its natural place? So many people now, if you go to the stores, your food is not growing in soil anymore. It's growing in water, hydroponic. A lot of the food is grown in hydroponically. It's being grown in air. It's not even in soil anymore. So we have to pay attention to these things. That's the main thing. But being honest and truthful will always keep the blood in a state that you can regenerate. That is the key. But we don't go back to the past. We've done that, been there, done that. What did we learn? Now, let's see what the new event is.
Awesome. Okay, we're going to take some calls. I just want to share a comment from one person in the chat room. They said they can't wait for the awesome conversation that's going to take place during the conference, as many of us are already on the same page, and that's Shy. I thought that was real sweet. Okay, so the first call is from area code 201. Caller 201, please state your name, where you're calling from, and your question. You're live on the air. Hi.
201, okay, they went to the future. They went to the future. Okay.
Going one,
we're
going
right
twice.
Here in the present. Right, okay. They went
okay, well, let's take area code 813. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and your question for Dr. Jewel.
How you doing? My name is Amon. I'm calling from Tampa.
Hi, Amon.
I have a question that is really not on topic. I was watching a show called Did God Create the Universe last night? And I had a question concerning that. They were saying that after Big Bang, certain particles came together by chance to create what we call life. What's your opinion on that?
Okay, well, is Ramon the name? Is Ramon?
Yes.
Okay, hi,
yes.
Ramon. How are you? Thanks for calling and glad you're listening there in Florida. My position is this. Having the opportunity to study human anatomy, therefore I had the opportunity to actually look through a human body beyond the skin. I'm telling you, when you open up the skin and look at all of the muscles, the arteries, the veins, the organs, the glands, the lymphatic system, you know right away that there is an intelligence that has a credible mind, an incredible mind. Your body and the structures therein are so well laid out, so planned, and so organized. This body did not come out of chaos and some haphazard event. Now, for the teeny-weeny minds that do not have balanced brains, their inability to comprehend this level of intelligence is what they're expressing to you. They're just telling you that our level of brain development, we cannot comprehend the quality of a mind that could do this. And so from our perspective, it looks like it was at random, it looks like it just happened, and that's how we're going to explain it, instead of us saying that we don't know, we can't comprehend. Okay, because there's this arrogance that's still present in science where they rather still take a position of authority as opposed to surrender to the fact and admit that they have reached the pinnacle of their brain development. And many people have suffered, Ramon, because our scientists will not humble themselves. Our scientists will not balance their brain. Our scientists will not do self-development first and then become the observer and then then report to the people what they are now able to see. See, this is the problem with our institutions. We do not prepare the individuals to really be enabled to do what they do. How are you going to be a scientist and you are working out of 10% of your brain? You cannot do that. You have to integrate your brain so that you can always be a balanced observer. So this is why we have so many problems on the planet, because we've allowed individuals who did not have access to the right and left hemispheres of the brain have power, activities, and dominion in the lives of others, and they did not have the level of equanimity and control over themselves before they were given this power. This is in our social institutions, our scientific institutions, our political institutions, our judicial institutions, and that is why so many things are out of place. And how is that to be corrected? By each and every one of us making the commitment that we are willing to serve ourselves first. And by becoming a whole person, a balanced brain, committing to stay in the moment, committing to be an observer of the present, we can then literally be incredible reporters, administrators, artisans for ourselves as well as for others and not do harm. But this has to be a criteria that the society itself sets up for itself. And that's why we're promoting everyone balance their brain, whether you want to be a domestic engineer, that is your homemaker of your home, whether you want to be the teacher, that you want to be a veterinarian, a painter, an architect, you should love yourself enough. And I don't want to use that word should. I'm saying that I would like for you, and I really strongly urge you to create a love affair with yourself to that extent that you want to always be the best you can be. And in your willingness to do that, you will come to know that you and I are the same, and your willingness to love yourself means that that is the kind of kindness and thoughtfulness that you would extend to others. And that is how we're going to change the quality of our planet. And this is literally being demanded of us right now as we move into the 21st century. Can you love yourself enough to want to be the best just because you love you? And in doing that, you'll find that because we're all the same, you have a love affair with all beings, all life forms, and your life is going to be just incredibly wonderful for that reason. We haven't loved ourselves enough, and this is the problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ramon, for your call.
So in essence, Ramon, hang out there. Don't make any conclusions. Do not stand on the information that they touted to you yesterday. Just continue to observe, and the truth will come forward. You'll see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ramon. Okay, we have another call from area code 313. 313, you're live on the air. Please
Hello.
State your name and your question. Your name, where you're calling from, and your question for Dr. Jewel.
My name is Rashida, and I'm calling from Colorado. And it's basically a comment. I was just calling. I am balanced and locked, and I started the balancing program when Dr. Jewel was my doctor. Hello, Dr. Jewel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Oh, good. So when did you become balanced and locked?
I think it was like probably in the 80s. In the 80s. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was in the 80s.
Well, all of you who completed my program, when you do get your balance and lock letters, because now we are also giving out your diplomas and certificates for such, you definitely want to frame those because they're going to have incredible power in this 21st century. You'll see. So that's a date that you want to, if you have documentation on that, that you want to definitely remember, just like your birth date. That this was the
date.
Yeah,
I have the documentation. I have the documentation.
Good.
I just don't have
this
it in front of me.
Yeah. Well, you want to remember that date. This was the day that I was informed after entertaining sacred geometry every day of my life for X amount of time that my neurons are now balanced and locked. I no longer have a divided brain. This is very important. So you want to remember that. Okay, well, go ahead. So what's it like to having a life, living a balanced brain life? You had a testimony last week on that. A gentleman came forth from 15 years ago. And he had an interesting story. So share with us yours.
Well, Dr. Jewel, first of all, I want to say that when I think about a lot of the things that I've gone through, I know that I would not have been able to sustain myself emotionally if I had not gone through the balancing program because, you know, living in the type of world that we live in that doesn't acknowledge you for who you are, you know, because I feel like when I came to this planet, I came here with certain gifts and certain talents, but because of this type of society that we live in, has not really been a support system to who I am. So being balanced and locked has caused me to begin to remember, you know, a lot of things about my own gifts and who I am. And it's also enable me to, you know, acknowledge the fact that I live between, you know, more than just this physical realm. When I say that, I feel that I live between both worlds, the spirit world and this physical realm. And I'm very conscious of that. And it just has given me the type of insight that I think that I need to live my life purpose and be connected to everything in the universe, even more so the things that I don't see. I'll give you an example. I moved to Colorado, and when I went into meditation where I live, there's a lot of trees. And so what I would do, I would send light to all the trees. I started out sending light to all the trees in the area. And then at some point I started sending light to every tree that's in Colorado. And in turn, I asked the trees to balance me vertically and horizontally and give me the grounding and the strength that I needed for me to, you know, for that day or whatever. And I would actually feel the trees sending me what I requested of them.
Okay.
And one day I was actually walking, and there's a pine tree right next to the building, and I stopped, and I started giving light to the pine tree, but I asked the pine tree in turn to give me strength and pycnogenol, and I could actually feel the pycnogenol coming from the pine tree into my body.
Okay. Okay. So, and so you're telling us that now you have activated the area of the brain that is able to elicit and to receive frequencies of energy relative to the request that you make. Is that what
right.
you're saying? Okay,
yes.
good.
Yeah,
well, that is something that I would imagine you should be able to do after all these years of having done the balancing program, you know, and I probably would seriously consider having a convention. What do you think about that, Jadisha? We should have a convention of individuals who completed the balancing program so that there's a big sharing that can happen relative to the new brain capabilities that these people have experienced over the years. I will confirm with you that this capability that you now have is very real because I have organic vegetables and fruits delivered to my house once a week. And the lady called me and asked me to take the holders, the wire holder that they put around the base of the green vegetables, like kale and collards, et cetera, to keep them together. But it's rather tight. And so what it does, it literally kind of acts like a tourniquet, and it can interfere with the chlorophyll and the fluids in the arteries and the veins of the chlorophyll to not move freely throughout the cells of the leaf. So it shortens the lifespan of the fresh vegetable in your refrigerator. So this is Monday. So this was said on Thursday to me to do this, but I've been doing a lot of things. So obviously that was very low on my list. It was so interesting that early this morning after I finished some radio shows in behalf of our conference coming up, that the leaves of the greens in the refrigerator presented themselves to me and asked me if I would please come down and take the ban off of them.
It's amazing.
That's wonderful.
I feel like that sometimes when I look at the veg as well. I feel like, oh, this must be strangling you.
Awesome. Like that was amazing. It was like they presented themselves to me and said, we would please appreciate it if you would come down and take these bans off of us. And
wow. So interesting.
I had to get up very early in the morning because I do my morning exercise here at the gym. And the first thing I did when I got up is that I went straight downstairs to the refrigerator, opened the storage bags, and took those like twisties off of them, separated them out, gave them a little space here, and then put them back in the bag and put them back in the refrigerator. Never in my life I ever had a conversation with the leaf.
Well, I had a conversation with the tree. I went to go visit my brother.
Rashida,
yes.
Sorry to cut you. My sweet, beautiful sisters, I love you so much. The sharing could just go on forever. We've got like less than a minute. We've got less than 2 minutes left of the program. Rashida, prayfully, you might be able to join us again next week, and maybe we can get some more testimonial out of you. That would be brilliant.
Sure.
That would be really, really awesome if you could come and share again with us next Monday at 5 o'clock. And
I will.
We would really appreciate love that because time is running out, and
okay.
we've got to conclude the program. We've got a minute and 27 seconds. Dr. Jewel, I want to say personally from the UK, thank you so much for your share on mutual support today. Very, very enlightening, and some really positive word power for me to share with my loved ones my loved ones, that is everyone here in the UK and everyone on the planet. But thank you very, very much. And I'll leave you to sign off.
Well, thank you, everyone. We've enjoyed having you here. My show tonight, please tune in, because everyone who's going to come this weekend to the 21st Century Women's Conference will be on the telephone. We're having a round table radio show. So that's going to be interesting. You can hear for yourself what they have planned to come and share with you. And, of course, tomorrow's show is wonderful, Survival for Preparedness for Our Time, the 21st Century. And, of course, we have
expanded Jewel Network radio broadcasting, music for the time for music for the mind of a scientist.
Yep, with our brother Maurice Thompson.
Yes, with Maurice. And so, without further ado, I want to say.